Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are taking on the Minnesota Twins this weekend. Coming up on this week's show, we will hear from hot-hitting Tribe catcher Yan Gomes. Also, starting pitcher Mike Clevenger, who is filling a big role for the Tribe with Corey Kluber on the disabled list. We will have our weekly farm report with Indians Director of Player Development, James Harris, and also take a look at the week gone by. That's all coming up as Tribe Talk gets rolling on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland, where the Indians are taking on the Twins this weekend. Time now to take a look back at our week in review, and it started on an upbeat note for the Indians Sunday in Kansas City as they were looking to take a series from the Royals, and good pitching ruled the day as Mike Clevenger was looking strong early for the Tribe, filling in that rotation spot vacated by Corey Kluber, who's on the disabled list, but it was Clevenger who started strong early.
The pitch, swing and a miss. Looked like he broke out his first curveball in the dirt. Gomes tags out Kane at the plate, and that's a pretty impressive 1-2-3 inning for Mike Clevenger, who in the process struck out a pair. Bonifacio hitting 256, couple of homers, four ribbies. He bangs one on one hop to the second baseman. Kipnis will throw him out. And the leadoff walk does no damage, so good job by Clevenger to recover. And, boy, the Indians have to be encouraged. He's averaging 14 pitches per inning. That's outstanding.
In the fifth inning, the Indians would get the only run they would need on this afternoon as Carlos Santana was at the plate. Now Duffy ready to work again. Here's his pitch. Swung on, lined up the middle, and on through a base hit into center field. That will put the Tribe in front as Gomes crosses home plate. It's 1-0 Indians. All right, Duffy came close to knocking that ball down. A liner back to the box, but it snuck on past him and on through into center field for a base hit. Carlos Santana with RBI number 18 on the season gives the Indians the lead here in the fifth inning. Meanwhile, Clevenger continued to roll on into the sixth inning.
The wind by the right-hander and Mike Clevenger's payoff pitch. Swung on, line to right, coming on, now drifting toward the line to make the catch is Chisenhall. So Kane lines out. Here comes Terry Francona. What a job Mike Clevenger has done today. Up from Columbus, he's got a chance for the win. He cannot lose it as he gives up one hit in 5 2/3 innings.
Then with the Indians up 1-0, it was time to turn to that vaunted Tribe bullpen.
Shaw sets, delivers, swing and a miss. They just went up the ladder with a heat, and he chased one up around the chin of his head, and now he snaps the bat over his knee going to the dugout. But to tell you what kind of a weekend it's been for Soler, he had to try twice to snap it over his knee before it broke. Soler has played in two games for the Royals. He's 0-6, and he's already snapping bats over his knee. Now the 2-2 delivery. Swing and a miss. Shaw has struck out all four he's faced. Another mid-90s cutter. And that ball is moving so much. I don't know if anybody can hit Brian Shaw today from any ball club. 7 in the books. It's still a 1-0 Tribe lead over the Royals.
Then it was Miller time in the eighth inning.
Here's the set in the 0-1. Outside corner, strike two on a fastball. Merrifield not happy. Miller pounded the inside corner, then the outside corner with a fastball. And Merrifield, 0-3, is letting home plate umpire Rob Drake know that his first appointment tomorrow must be with an optometrist. Miller comes set and fires. Swing and a miss on that back foot slider. Whit Merrifield walking to the Royals dugout and getting out of harm's way before he says something to get himself thrown out of the game.
And in the ninth, Cody Allen finished things up for the Tribe.
Indians trying to win a series in which they've scored 5 runs total. Royals have plated 4. Now, 2-2 pitch to Brandon Moss. Swung on, fly ball, medium deep, right center. calling El Monte, makes the catch, ball game. A one-hit shutout by the Cleveland Indians, Mike Clevenger, Brian Shaw, Andrew Miller, and Cody Allen. The Indians win a series, beating the Royals today 1-0. So the Indians hold the Royals to one hit, hold the Royals to four runs this weekend. And the Indians have now climbed four games above 500. What a ball game. What a series.
The following day, Tom Hamilton, visiting with Tribe manager Terry Francona, discussed the emergence of Mike Clevenger and what they like about Clevenger this time around coming up from the minor leagues.
I thought Clev did a really good job. He still had a high pitch count, but if you watch the game, he followed the catcher's glove a lot. And when he missed down, and he didn't miss by much. And he threw a real good changeup, and he threw a good breaking ball, and he was able to throw that in hitter's counts. Kept him, obviously took the sting off their bats because he only gave up the one hit. Now, there were some walks in there, and he had to pitch out of the, he had the double and the walk the one inning, but he got out of it. But there's a lot to like with Clev.
After the series in Kansas City, the road trip continued with the third city on the trip, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and a rematch with the Blue Jays from the American League Championship Series of last October. On Monday night, there was a 4-2 Blue Jays victory, but the Indians bounced right back on Tuesday night. It was Lonnie Chisenhall getting things going early in the second inning.
The 2-1. Swung on, line drive, base hit up the alley in left center. It's a gapper, and this ball is cut off in the gap by Carrera, but not in time to keep Encarnacion from scoring. Ramirez scampers to third, and Chisenhall has an RBI double, and the Indians have a 1-0 lead. If Carrera doesn't cut that ball off in the gap, it's 2-0. So Lonnie Chisenhall with his fourth double and 14th RBI.
The Indians made it 2-0 with a Yandy Diaz RBI ground out, and it stayed that way in a well-pitched game into the seventh. That's when Francisco Lindor was able to pad that Tribe lead.
Howell checks second, comes to the plate. Lindor yanks one to left field down the line. It goes fair ball. It'll bounce into the seats. Ground rule double. It'll be an RBI. Gomes will score from second. Santana will stop at third. And Frankie Lindor delivers his 10th double and 20th RBI. And a huge hit from Frankie Lindor to make it 3-0 Indians here in the seventh. And all three Indians who have scored tonight got on base with a walk.
Meanwhile, Carlos Carrasco was just outstanding as he was dealing, getting through the seventh with a shutout working and only three hits allowed.
Carrasco with a 2-2. Swing and a miss, pulled the string and strikes out Smoke. That is seven strikeouts for Carrasco. What a game he is pitching. He finally gives up a hit, but Carrasco still with a shutout. 3-0, Indians lead the Jays going to the eighth.
In the eighth inning, Yan Gomes would put the Indians comfortably in front as he continued his hot stretch at the plate.
Yan Gomes, 1-for-2, a single, a walk, and a run scored. He swings and drives it. Deep left field, away, back, and gone. Yan Gomes with a game-breaking three-run home run to left. And the Indians have blown it open and lead 6-0. Gomes with his second home run. And, folks, Yan Gomes is back. What a road trip he has had. It started in Detroit. He had the Indians' best at-bats against Justin Verlander. And he just hammered a two-out, three-run homer to left.
And in the ninth, Nick Goody came on to finish things up with the Indians well out in front.
6-0 Indians in the ninth inning. One out, one on the pitch. Swung on, tapper to the mound. Goody to second. There's one. Lindor relay. Double play. Ball game. So the Indians get their fourth shutout of the season on a 1-6-3 twin killer to end it. What a job tonight by Carlos Carrasco, dominating the Blue Jays for seven. And the Indians tonight got some clutch hitting. 6-0. Indians a winner over the Blue Jays.
The next day, Tom Hamilton checked in with Tribe manager Terry Francona, and they talked about how good it is to see Yan Gomes showing some positive signs at the plate.
it's nice to see him have a little success because I know he was really wearing it. It's nice, like last night, he got that ball down and he jumped on it. And we remember that from a couple years ago. But I think it all started out by him hitting the ball, a couple balls right field, staying on the ball, maybe seeing it a little bit longer. And I think the walks also show that. And he's getting aggressive and he's getting dangerous. And that's kind of the Gomer that we had come to really expect. So if we can get that back, man, that's a big lift for us.
The rest of the week, not so good for the Tribe as they saw a large lead early of 7-3 in Wednesday's series finale against the Blue Jays slip away, and the Blue Jays won it on a Ryan Goins RBI base hit in the bottom half of the ninth inning, 8-7, the final score on Wednesday night in Toronto. So that put a capper on the road trip. The Indians came home with a 4-5 trip after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Blue Jays. Thursday, a much-needed off day, and then they welcomed the Minnesota Twins on Friday night, and it was the Urban Santana show for Minnesota. Home run help from Miguel Sano, and the Twins won it by a score of 1-0. That's a look back at your week in review. Stay tuned. We'll have more to come as Tribe Talk continues after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
The pitch, swing and a miss. Looked like he broke out his first curveball in the dirt. Gomes tags out Kane at the plate, and that's a pretty impressive 1-2-3 inning for Mike Clevenger, who in the process struck out a pair.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Nice homestand here for the Indians as they headed into play on Friday night with the fewest amount of home games in the major leagues. They had only played a dozen home games. Here we are almost in mid-April. But the Indians will catch up this week here with 3 against the Twins through Sunday afternoon. And then the Tampa Bay Rays make their only visit of the season to Cleveland for night games. Those 6-10 starts on Monday and Tuesday nights. And then a noon start, a 12-10 start on Wednesday afternoon. So a midweek day game for you on Wednesday afternoon to close out the homestand. Well, Mike Clevenger has been a big boost for the Tribe. He's taking that spot vacated by Corey Kluber in the Indians' rotation as Kluber tries to recover from some lower back discomfort, and he is making good progress. The latest update from Indians President of Baseball Operations Chris Antonetti on Friday was that Kluber has gotten through that rest period to let that back calm down a little bit. He's been receiving some real good treatment on the rehab front and then was able to get back on the field and play catch and start his throwing program to get back on the mound in short order and see if he can get back in that rotation soon. No timetable for that, though, so Mike Clevenger now becomes a big key. He had been off to an outstanding start at AAA Columbus with an earned run average of 1.50 heading into his first major league start of the season on Sunday in Kansas City, and he threw 5-plus innings of one-hit shutout baseball against the Royals in his first start in 2017 in the big leagues. When we caught up with Clevenger on Monday, the line sure looked good, and when he was done, was the outing as good as it looked based on what he thought coming out of that performance?
I mean, it was definitely a really good building block. I mean, that was, I just wanted to have a good first one, get under my belt, and just need to cut down on the walks and, you know, just nitpicking at the corners a little bit.
When you look at your spring training, I know you were trying to make the ball club, obviously, and it did not work out that way. What were some of the keys going back to AAA to make sure that you had the right mindset to take care of things to get back here?
I mean, I understood exactly where I went wrong in spring training because it's kind of a roller coaster. I started out like guns blazing, everything was working, I was hitting my spots, and then got out of whack mechanically, and then it kind of took me a little bit too long to find the fix to that. So I knew I was jerking, I knew I was throwing way too across my body, and I knew that was like what I needed to work on as soon as I got down there.
And is some of that sometimes just trying too hard to make things happen when you're in that situation in spring training?
I would definitely say that is one of my, I would say, like, flaws, but I think it's also a good trait to have. I just get too caught up in the moment, too caught up in the intensity of it, and then once I keep repeating that same mechanical change that I'm doing, trying to add more to it, it then translated to me throwing like that every pitch.
You had an opportunity to pitch up here a year ago. How much of a difference does that make as you get into it now this year at the major league level?
I mean, my legs aren't shaky anymore, so that's a plus. But, yeah, I think that whole, especially that postseason and the heightened state of all those games is something that I didn't even fathom like it can replicate or anything. So, I mean, just felt a lot more comfortable taking the hill out there.
And you got after it pretty good in the winter time. You spent a fair amount of time in Goodyear, added some weight. Have you noticed some difference in terms of whether it's pitch to pitch or pitching deep into games that's made that beneficial to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the durability. It's the bouncing back in between starts every 5 days, keeping a consistent velocity through 100 pitches, and it's allowed me to stay into my legs and stay into my hips, I mean, throughout the whole outing.
When you look back at yesterday, a tight ball game, 1-0 ball game, sometimes those are not the easiest, but does it keep you as sharp and focused as you need to be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all you're trying to do is give that team a chance to win, and when they put that run on the board, that's just a little bit more incentive to go put another zero up on the board.
People may see your numbers at the AAA level and think that should translate right away, and obviously yesterday had a good performance. How different is it, the hitters and things that you're doing at AAA, as opposed to what you see up here on a regular basis?
I mean, I'd say the strike zone is a little bit tighter up here, and I mean, that's, you kind of know that coming into it, but I would say just the approach, it's a lot more experience of approach you're seeing. I mean, there's still a ton of talent down there. You're seeing great swings. Some guys have good approaches. There's also a lot of guys, like how I was figuring out my approach to pitching when I was doing my mechanics. There's a lot of those hitters that have that kind of talent, but they're still figuring out their approach. So I would say that's the biggest difference.
And you come up here, and short-term, Corey Kluber is hurt, and you're filling in that spot in the rotation. How do you approach it, knowing that, and then knowing how this game can be, and it seems to change from week to week?
Oh, I don't even, it's not even in my mind right now. It's just waiting 5 days to go out there and try to do the same thing.
All right, Mike, nice going yesterday. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Mike Clevenger, Indians starting pitcher. And again, he becomes a key now with Corey Kluber on the disabled list. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will visit with Yan Gomes, who is really putting together a nice bounce back season. That's as Tribe Talk continues on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
$22,663 on another cold Detroit night. Allen's 1-1 pitch. And Adusi takes a curve in the dirt. What a block by Gomes. Ball squirted out in front of him, but nobody could advance. Gomes has saved Cody Allen at least 5 wild pitches this inning. He has put a clinic on how to block a ball in the dirt. Wow, what a play by Gomes. Now the set by Allen, hands belt high, delivers. Runner goes, pitch high and wide. Gomes, great throw to second, tag, got him! Lindor slapped the tag on the sliding Altuve. What a throw by Gomes. Wow, has he made two great throws tonight. Well, Yan Gomes showing why he is such a valuable asset.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you at Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us this weekend. As we talk baseball on the radio, and the Indians and Twins Saturday afternoon playing at 4:10. Sunday afternoon at 1:10 on Mother's Day. Bring the kids out, too. It's a KeyBank Kids Fun Day, and kids will be able to run the bases after Sunday's game, thanks to Cleveland Clinic Children's. Yan Gomes in 2014 was the American League Silver Slugger as the best-hitting catcher in the American League, but the last two seasons have been a real struggle from an injury standpoint and, as a result, performance standpoint as well. He has certainly been a top-shelf defensive catcher, but trying to find that good swing at the plate once again that he showed most of the 2014 season, we may be getting a glimpse of it once again, as he's been in a real solid stretch at the plate for more than 2 weeks now. After Friday night's action, in which he had another base hit, Gomes was hitting close to .400 in that 16-game stretch with a little bit of power, too. So that's been extremely encouraging, and we had a chance to visit with Yan earlier this week, and he talked about the biggest key to getting the results that he's looking for at the plate.
Just mainly staying healthy, keeping my body healthy, keeping it ready to go every day, and just putting myself in the good position to, whether it's catching or hitting, just in the good mental position to just do what I have to do that day.
And I know hitting-wise, Ty Van Berkley, your hitting coach, had mentioned toward the end of spring training, he really liked what he saw in terms of being selective at the plate. And does that come and go sometimes, and is it difficult to maintain that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it'll come and go, but as long as I'm focusing on just having a good at-bat and just getting myself ready for whoever it is and just being in a good position to hit, I think we're all here for a reason, and I think we'll you know, make an adjustment as the game goes on. And mainly it's just being ready whenever whatever situation comes up.
And is that why when you see your walk start to go up a little bit that you start having more success in terms of putting balls in play with authority?
Yeah. I mean, it's a matter of not trying to hit all four pitches at once. I think once you start zoning up and, you know, being more selective, and it's not even a matter of, like, being passive or being more patient. It's just whenever it's in the zone, don't miss it.
Defensively, obviously you're throwing going very well, and you mentioned being healthy, and that's such a big key. A couple you throw from your knees, you threw guys out, but just the things that it takes to be successful defensively, it seems like that never leaves you.
We always have to credit Sandy for everything he does with us in during spring and even during season. We'll talk every day about just situations that go on through the game, and he's helped us out a lot, and you know, we just thank him for our defense.
And last night, you're handling a pitcher who's off to a tremendous start in Carlos Carrasco. What can you do as a catcher to try and keep him on that good path?
Don't get in his way. Let him do whatever he's doing. He's kind of coming to his own. You see him starting to, I mean, I don't want to say grow up a little bit, but because he's a really mature pitcher, it's just a matter of, like, he's starting to understand his pitches and understand himself a little better.
And what did you see last night that made him seem overpowering at times during the game?
He was able to locate every pitch at any count, whether it was from his curveball, slider, changeup, fastball, whatever it was. He was able to put it in a good spot and get ahead of hitters. And I think the two or three hits that he did give up were either behind or was early in the count where we kind of had to get back into it. So once the game got going, I think he understood that. And it was a matter of just pitching to his strengths and just staying ahead.
And team-wise, the team seemingly is really building into the season here, and you're seeing some things come together slowly but surely. And is that just the nature of this game, especially if when you have a good run like the team did at the end of last season, to maybe want it to go quicker than it does sometimes?
I think we might not be playing to our best potential just yet, which is for us in here it could be kind of scary, you know. But Our pitchers have done a tremendous job, and I know we haven't scored too many runs, but we're scoring just enough runs to win us a ball game, and our pitchers and our bullpens have done a tremendous job.
Well, Jan, great to see you playing well and healthy again. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
That's Jan Gomes, Indians catcher, who has always been a top-shelf defensive catcher, does great work controlling the running game, and now contributing at the plate once again. And that is great to see for a young man who has worked awfully hard at it, not getting the results. He's had to battle some injuries, but things taking a turn for the positive for Gomes here early in 2017. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll update things on the minor league front with James Harris, the Indians' director of player development. That's next as we conclude Tribe Talk after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
A standing ovation and a loud one at that as Edwin Encarnacion on a very emotional night returns to Toronto. Marcus Stroman's like, hey, I'm the guy that's got to get him out. Here is the whine by Stroman and the pitch. Swung on, line drive off the foot of Stroman. Cairns to short. Backhanded jump throw by Gomes. Not in time. Base hit Edwin Encarnacion. A BB off the foot of Stroman that ricocheted to the shortstop Goins, who went to the hole with a backhand and almost made a spectacular play to get Encarnacion. Well, Encarnacion got that out of the way in a hurry.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk, our final segment here at Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend, and each week on Tribe Talk, we take a look at the Indians' minor league system with James Harris, the Indians' Director of Player Development. And this week, James brought us up to date on the Columbus Clippers, the Indians' AAA ball club. He had a chance to visit them down at beautiful Huntington Park in Columbus last week. And that's where we begin with James. He talks about his first impressions from one of the better facilities in all of minor league baseball, Huntington Park.
I was really impressed. It was, like you said, it was my first time there. I was really excited to get there and walking through it. It was a major league atmosphere. It was a great crowd a day after a rainout, but still the fans were out in full force, and it was good to see them.
And they certainly have seen some players that have helped the Indians already this season, and others may be called upon at some point. And in terms of the starting rotation, let's begin with Ryan Merritt, who obviously with the Indians playing the Blue Jays this week, that brings back some great memories of the American League Championship Series and what he was able to do in Game 5. How has his season gone so far, and what are some of the things that he's working on to be the best that he can be and be ready if needed?
Yeah, I think it's just that. I mean, he's a professional, comes to the park every day like his locker's in Cleveland, as we say. He's a professional, and he's ready if he's called upon. He comes in every day and puts in the work necessary to be ready, and we're excited that we can call on him if need be.
And Adam Plutko, another familiar name for Indians fans because he was up a little bit at the end of last season, also saw some time in spring training and big league camp. Looks like a slow start numbers-wise for him, but what are you seeing in addition to the numbers that gives you confidence with Plutko?
Yeah, with a lot of these guys, you can call this club the Cleveland Clippers because these guys have come up and down to our major league club, so they bring that professionalism back to Columbus. And Adam's one of those guys. He doesn't let one outing affect the next one. He comes out each time and tries to compete. He's had some success at times. He's had some struggles at times, but those things don't drag over into the next outing. So look forward to seeing what he has in the next outing.
And on the relief side, we've seen Sean Armstrong. I know he's back there and has done some good work, just got caught up in the numbers game up here. Nick Goody is here now after spending some time in Columbus. How about Joe Colon? We didn't have a chance to see him pitch while he was up here, but what have you seen from him so far during his time at Columbus? Because the numbers look outstanding.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that's an extension of our bullpen in Cleveland and has done some good things for us in Columbus. I mean, it would feel good if you're Chris Trimme in Columbus to be able to look into the bullpen and pull a guy out like Joe Colon, 27 years old, brings some maturity, has some experience. He's a guy who can get in there and get some outs for us.
And he was someone who pitched in the WBC. In that situation, helpful for him based on where he is in his career to be able to pitch in that type of situation?
Yeah, it's always great to be able to go out and pitch against the best in the world and then come back. That brings a little bit of added confidence, not only of what he can do in Columbus, but what he can do in his career looking forward.
Another arm that not quite on the radar yet in terms of pitchers that we have seen, but Jeff Johnson, I know, has put up some numbers throughout his minor league career. And we were talking earlier, he's getting to that point in his career where I know you want to see some more from him at the AAA level. And explain what you mean by that in terms of Jeff Johnson.
It's coming. I mean, those things come with opportunities. And these guys work day in and day out to prepare for the opportunity. And now that he's in Columbus, he's starting to get those opportunities to display what he can do. I mean, he's 27 years old, which seems to be about the average age for our bullpen there in Columbus. He's prepared all this time for this opportunity, and now he's going to get a shot.
Visiting with James Harris, Indians Director of Player Development, we head over to the position player side. And we were talking about the infield earlier, and I know even though Yandy Diaz is now in the major leagues with the Indians, still a lot to like down there. And what are you liking on the infield right now for the Clippers?
There's a lot of excitement there. I mean, you guys have guys like Eric Gonzalez, which you've seen a lot of in spring training this year, Giovanni Urshela, who you also saw there, Ronnie Rodriguez. Those are guys that can move around. They have some versatility. They have some athleticism. They have the glove to go along with it. So really excited about the three 25-year-olds that we have there.
And with Gonzalez, looks like he spent the bulk of his time at shortstop, and important for him to continue to develop that, even though he has the roadblock in Francisco Lindor ahead of him at the major league level?
I mean, that doesn't take away the fact that he is a shortstop, so looking forward to get some opportunities there at shortstop, but not ignoring the fact that he also needs to get some experience at third base and even in the outfield, which he's done, played a little bit of second. But it's always good to have that versatility, but in our eyes, he's a shortstop too.
And in the outfield, we always like to get the update on Bradley Zimmer, who was so impressive in spring training. And what are you seeing early season from Zimmer?
Good news about him is, I mean, being one of the youngest guy on that team, if not the youngest guy on that team, you couldn't tell it when you walk into the park. He brings a professional approach. He's played in center and on the corner. He's improved day in and day out, and really excited about what he can bring for us in the future.
And a veteran who has returned to play, a lot of fun to watch in spring training. He played a bunch of different positions, and a real spark plug out there was Daniel Robertson, who sustained an injury at the tail end of spring training. Is he back and on the field and contributing?
Yeah, I mean, he was full go when I was there this weekend. I mean, from the first time he was at bat, he let it loose running full speed. So, I mean, he announced the fact that he was back and healthy right away. And I mean, he didn't have to warm up and go. He was full speed from the time he got there, and we were excited to see it.
All right, James. Well, appreciate the update as always. This time on the Columbus Clippers. We'll catch up with you again next week. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
That's James Harris, the Indians' director of player development. And as an added feature, as part of our look at the Indians minor league system, from time to time we'll hear from David Wilson, who's the radio play-by-play voice for the Akron Rubber Ducks in the Eastern League, the Indians' double-A club there. And this week he has a feature on Tyler Krieger, who's had an interesting start to his season playing in the WBC, as well as getting off to a good start at double-A Akron.
Cleveland Indians second base prospect Tyler Krieger is in his first season with the AA Akron Rubber Ducks and is off to a great start both at the plate and on the bases. Through his first 17 games, Krieger is hitting .299 with a homer and six RBIs. So far, the 23-year-old Georgia native is enjoying the transition to AA and hitting in a dynamic Akron lineup.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun, and one, it's fun to play with all those guys, and two, it's a really unique lineup just with the switch hitting combinations. You got a little power, you got a little speed. Greg does a great job setting the table at the top. And then we have, it feels like, guys that you saw, like Bobby Bradley coming on strong in the last series, just that can really drive you in, and Chang, and it just goes all the way down, 1-9. You feel like each guy can do some damage and help us win the game.
Krieger played shortstop for most of his college career at Clemson University, but a shoulder injury led to a position switch to second base. After hitting .339 with 41 RBIs as a junior, Krieger was drafted by the Indians in the fourth round of the 2015 draft. Now at AA in just his second pro season, Krieger feels the adversity in college carried some benefits.
Yeah, no, I feel good. The shoulder injury, I think in the long run, is going to end up teaching me a lot. Just how to stay on top of my routines in the training room and weight room, and then honestly, my arm's probably going to come back better from it before it's all said and done. So looking back on that, it was a tough hurdle to hop over, but once I'm, on the other side of it, I feel better about it. So, so far in pro ball, I've been treated, really well by the organization and my teammates. So I've just really enjoyed my experience, and the first however many 10, 15 games with the Ducks has been pretty fun.
A switch hitter who stands 6'2 and weighs in at 175 pounds, Krieger has above average speed and has the reputation of a gap hitter. He already leads the Rubber Ducks with 8 doubles through the first month of the season. Akron manager Mark Budzinski likes the approach Krieger has shown at the plate.
Yeah, honestly, since we've had him in the organization, he's hit everywhere he's been. And so he's aggressive in the zone. He's been doing a good job for the most part of staying in the zone and taking balls out of the zone. And he uses all parts of the field from both sides of the plate, and that makes for a consistent, successful hitter. So we're very happy with the work he's put in, and good to see him out there healthy and competing.
Krieger's 2017 season got an early start when he appeared for Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic. He appeared in 6 games, collected 3 hits, and drove in 4 runs. He hopes he can transfer the energy and experience from the Classic into his regular season performance.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. Definitely a unique opportunity. to go out there with those guys, and I think it's going to be really valuable for me going forward, just with being on the field in those type atmospheres with pretty competitive players, and being able to pick the brains of those older guys, I think definitely is going to help me in the long run.
Krieger is ranked 18th on Baseball America's list of top 30 Indians prospects. At age 23, with major college experience and rising fast through the minor league ranks, Tyler Krieger is another Indians prospect on the big league radar. Krieger with a good at-bat going. The pitch, a high fly ball, deep right field. Trout goes back. This one is way out of here. Tyler Krieger, his first double-A home run, and the Rubber Ducks take a 1-0 lead here in the top of the first inning. Reporting for Tribe Talk, this is David Wilson on the Indians Radio Network.
That's David Wilson, the radio voice of the Akron Rubber Ducks, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of Tribe Talk. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll catch you again next week from Houston, Texas. The Indians will be back out on the road next weekend for a big series against the Houston Astros, certainly a ball club that has high aspirations and is off to a great start. So until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.